Just yesterday, I was a person. Today, I am a patient. That moment changes everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a brutal shift. The ground completely vanishes beneath your feet.
It really does. And, you know, think about what happens in that exact moment. You're sitting in a clinical room, the doctor delivers the news, and suddenly your identity just, it fractures.
Right.
But what if, in that exact moment of shock, instead of just surrendering to the medical machine, you decided to hunt the disease that was hunting you?
Which is a completely radical pivot.
Absolutely. Today, we're taking a deep dive into a survival manual written by someone who did exactly that. So, okay, let's unpack this. We're looking at an article, well, really a foundational doctrine called Cancer Becomes the Way.
Yeah, published by the Telangiocarcinoma Foundation Australia.
Right. And for you listening, that is pronounced Telangiocarcinoma. Or, you know, as the author Steve Holmes sometimes simplifies it, the story of two brothers, Cole and Gio.
And we definitely need to set some ground rules right out of the gate for this deep dive, because if you're listening and expecting, like, a typical emotional survivor story or some dense biology lesson.
Yeah, pivot your expectations right now.
Exactly. That is not what this is. It isn't a story. It is the entry point into a survival operating system. Cancer is a position, not a fate.
Okay, I really want to linger on that word, position. Because most people think cancer is just something that happens to them, like a fate.
Right, a tragic lottery ticket.
Yeah, you just cross your fingers and hope the doctors know what they're doing. But this article completely repositions it as something you must actively, strategically respond to. Because the shock of a diagnosis, especially a rare one like cholangiocarcinoma, it overwhelms your logic.
It really does. And to give you some context, this specific cancer attacks the bile ducts.
Like the plumbing of your liver.
Basically, yeah. Oh. And because it's hidden deep inside, by the time symptoms actually show up, the biology is usually already in a really late advanced stage.
So you're completely disoriented right from day one.
And that disorientation is the critical danger zone. The text uses this really powerful visual to explain the shift that has to happen. It compares cancer to a massive boulder.
Okay.
Imagine you're walking down your path, just living your life, and suddenly this enormous boulder falls directly in front of you. It completely blocks the road.
So you have choices in that moment.
Yeah.
You can try to go around it.
Or try to move it.
Right. Or you can just turn away and give up.
The author notes that some people try once and stop. Many don't try at all. And a lot of people, you know, they just sit down in front of the boulder and wait for someone else to come move it for them.
Which is such a common reaction.
But whatever you choose to do, that obstacle is now your reality. What stands in front of you becomes the way.
Hold on. Let me challenge that for a second.
Sure.
If a massive tree falls across my commute, I don't just sit in my car waiting for it to vanish. I reroute. But with cancer, isn't there a huge tendency to just freeze?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I don't have a medical degree. If I'm sitting in that chair, I just want to let the oncologist drive the car. Why is it on me to figure out the boulder?
What's fascinating here is the distinction the author makes between reacting and responding. Because freezing, or assuming someone else is driving, that's reacting.
Right.
Responding is entirely different. And the source emphasizes this is not about blind positive thinking. Positive thinking is passive. It's just hoping for the best.
Yeah, that doesn't move the boulder.
Exactly. This is about right perception driving right action. It's about decision speed and clarity under pressure.
Right perception. So seeing the boulder clearly, not pretending it's a pebble, but also not treating it like the absolute end of the world.
Right. If you perceive it merely as a tragic end, you stop. Mm-hmm. But if you perceive it as a navigational challenge, your brain shifts gears. You stop being a victim of fate and you become an operator in a crisis.
I love that. You become an operator. But that leads to a really uncomfortable question. If right action is so absolutely required from the patient, why can't we just rely on the medical system to clear the path?
Because the system has boundaries.
Yeah.
And this is probably the hardest reality for patients to face. You assume there's this grand coordinated system guiding your overall survival.
Like a seamless conveyor belt.
Right. A team of doctors in a room with a whiteboard strategizing your whole life. But that is an illusion. The article is stark about this.
The system is strong, but only within its boundaries.
Exactly. Yeah. Diagnosis and treatment. When you're getting chemo, the system has you. But when you hit the edge of the standard protocol, or when you're just waiting between appointments, the system stops.
You fall into the gaps.
You do. And it's not a failure of the medical system. It's just the design. Patients are left to navigate those gaps themselves.
Which is terrifying. But that's the pivot the listener needs to make here. We have to move from a care culture to a response culture. Care helps us cope. Response helps us win.
That is the defining line.
Right. Like your family, your friends, the nurses, they provide care. They help you cope with the burden. But you, the patient, have to be the engine of your own survival.
You move from being treated to responding. And survival often comes from how the patient thinks, how fast they act, and how they navigate those exact gaps.
And to prove this isn't just, you know, theoretical philosophy, we need to talk about the lived experience that forged this system.
We have to look at Steve and his brother, Graham.
Right. Because Steve didn't come up with this while sitting on a beach. This was forged under unimaginable pressure. He and his brother were hit by the exact same disease.
Cholangiocarcinoma.
Yeah. And Graham didn't have a system to rely on. He relied purely on standard medical protocols, and the disease took him.
And then Steve wakes up in an ICU.
Here's where it gets really interesting.
Yeah.
Steve is dazed. He's barely alive after this massive multi-organ surgery. His tumor had ruptured.
He was given a 1% chance of survival, stage 4.
Just weeks to live. But lying in that bed, his mindset shifted. His thought process was basically, Cholangio, your mistake became my opportunity. You hunted my family. Now we hunt you.
It's incredible. He was hunted by this cancer. Now he's building systems to hunt it.
That psychological pivot is just breathtaking. He managed to get onto a specific clinical trial, Keynote 158, and it completely turned his situation around.
But if we connect this to the bigger picture, what makes this remarkable isn't just that Steve survived. It's what he and his wife, Claire, did next.
They didn't just walk away.
No, they realized there was no manual for this. Every new patient was starting from zero.
Reinventing the wheel while the clock is ticking.
Exactly. So they took a small Facebook group of like 40 people and built a patient-led foundation. But their goal was not advocacy or awareness.
That's a huge distinction.
This is not about awareness. It's about survival now. Awareness is for 10 years from now. Steve and Claire realized today's patient doesn't have time for awareness. Their absolute mandate is raising survival for today's patient, today.
Okay, so let's get deeply practical. How do you actually operationalize survival?
They build the patient response system. It's a journal, an app, and AI tools.
Because the article makes this terrifying point, most patients lose options, not just because of the cancer, but because understanding comes too late.
Right, let's talk about the biological sequence. If your doctor says, let's do another scan in 6 weeks.
To a civilian, 6 weeks sounds reasonable.
But biologically, in 6 weeks, that tumor might mutate. It might become resistant to the one therapy that could have saved you.
You aren't just losing time. You are losing options.
So this system steps into that space. The AI, for instance, isn't just a chatbot. It acts as a translation layer. You get a dense pathology report, the AI ingests it, and cross-references your specific mutations against global clinical trials.
Like the one that saved Steve.
Exactly. It steps into the space between effort and result, guiding action before, during, and after diagnosis.
So you walk into the oncologist not asking what to do, but stating, my tumor has this biomarker, there's a phase quitter trial, how do we enroll?
You've become the operator. And to power this, the doctrine demands you carry 3 crucial questions at all times.
Let's break these down. Question 1. What position am I now in?
Immediate situational awareness. You can't just say, I have cancer. You need coordinates. Where is it? What's the biological sequence? Has it mutated?
It forces you out of the emotion and into the data.
Right. Question 2. Am I responding or reacting?
That is a constant psychological audit.
Are you making a decision based on panic or exhaustion? That's reacting. Or are you making a calculated move based on right perception? That's responding.
Which leads to the 3rd question, which I think is just chilling. What happens if I delay from here?
It removes the luxury of denial. It quantifies the cost of waiting.
Because if the answer is the tumor grows and options permanently close, waiting is no longer an option, you have to move the boulder.
That response becomes the way.
It's heavy, but it is incredibly empowering. So for you listening right now, if you or someone you love faces cancer, this is where you start. This article gives you orientation, what matters first, what to do next. We strongly direct you to read the full article by Steve Holmes. It is foundational. It is not optional.
It resets the board and gives you the rules of a game you didn't ask to play, but now have to win.
This article isn't something you listen to and move on from. It's something you carry, because one day, you may need it.
And as you carry it, just think about this. If right perception creating right action is the key to navigating the ultimate boundary of life and death, how might adopting this response overreaction mindset change how you navigate the smaller boulders blocking your everyday path long before a crisis ever hits.